scripture reading for this morning would be taken from Hebrews chapter 16, and it reads, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased." Brother Scott.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Blessing to be here on the first day of the week. We want to welcome our guest. We're glad that you're with us this morning. Our study is changing. Now we're going to look at our theme for this month. And we'll be looking at the subject of Christian sacrifices and what the Bible has to say. And Don has just read from us a very important scripture that tells us a lot about what we give and the sacrifices that the Bible commands for us to give. And I think it's good for us to have some clarification on what a sacrifice is. A lot of times we hear the word today and we open up the dictionary, it means to give something up. That's not the biblical concept of a sacrifice. When you read the word sacrifice or offering in the Bible, it means like a burnt offering. Whether it's bread or wine or whether it's a lamb that's offered on an altar, it means something that is given to God in that sense. And Brother Philip had done a devotional for us 2 weeks ago, I think, where he talked a lot about these things. And we're going to expand on them. One of the things he emphasized that stood out to me is that a sacrifice must cost something. David had that conviction. He had a chance where someone would give him everything he needed for the sacrifice, and he said, no, a sacrifice needs to cost something. We're going to look today at Christian sacrifices, what the Bible says. This is what we see in the Old Testament. You had all these sacrifices. You had blood sacrifices. What were they for? What was the purpose of them? They were all foreshadowing. They were types of the reality to come in the New Testament, where we're going to have a spiritual worship, a spiritual system of worship. And we're going to look at some of those scriptures this morning. I hope this is encouraging to you to help us to see how important we are in our service to God, how meaningful it is, and how our worship to God changes us. It changes how we view ourselves in the scope of God and serving Him. And that the things that we do are not small things, and that they are very pleasing to our Creator. First of all, when I think about the cost of sacrifice, I think about Abraham and Isaac. I look at this command here in Genesis 22 and verse 2, and I read this. God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I shall tell you." And of course, they get there and they get up to the mountain, and Isaac observes, here's the fire and here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham says to him, "God will provide." And as he is to take this knife, he takes it in hand. The angel stops him, the angel of the Lord, and tells him, "The Lord knows now that you are obedient and faithful to him." And he does provide a sacrifice. A lamb was caught there for them to offer. But I want you to think about this in this scope. As we start thinking about the cost of sacrifice, the first thing that comes to my mind is this. How willing would I be to sacrifice one of my children to give them up? I think about that, the position of Abraham. To take one of my little boys up there on the mountain and to put them on an altar, to be willing to give them to God. Now, I say that when we start thinking about it, I think there's a type within what Abraham was doing, a foreshadowing of what God has done for us as he has taken his son and sacrificed him for us. How do we respond to that? And what we're going to see this morning regarding sacrifice and our worship to God is our response to God's sacrifice. He's given his only son for us. What do I give to him? How do I respond to that? And I find this amazing. Here's that change in worship from that Old Testament system to the New Testament. And we're going to see three things here that make up the system of sacrificial worship. Here it is. Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 5, he says, "As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious." And the emphasis here is that Christ is the living stone. He's the cornerstone that's been rejected. The cornerstone of what? The cornerstone of the church. The foundation of God's temple. That's who we are. And listen to what Peter says. "You yourselves, like living stones." We are living stones in God's temple. We're a part of something great. This is the building, the structure that we are of as people, not this building right here, but a spiritual one. He says you are being built up as a spiritual house. We are God's temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 emphasizes that the church is the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6 even emphasizes that our bodies are the temple of God as the Spirit dwells within us. 2 Corinthians 6 again emphasizes the church as the temple of God. So does Ephesians 2. The theme is throughout Scripture about the church being God's temple now. We also see this. He says that you are God's spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Emphasis on holy. That we are to be pure. This is what's often called the priesthood of all believers. There are some churches today that distinguish between the church, the high part, and priests between and the laity. But in the Bible and in the Scriptures in the New Testament, we are all priests, man and woman, serving in God's temple, His building. And what are we doing in that temple? He says to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Now, the word acceptable here, if I could translate it myself, I wouldn't translate acceptable. Sometimes people do things that are acceptable. They have a job, they do it, it's acceptable. The word here means pleasing. And to me, there's a big difference between something being acceptable and being pleasing. And we're going to see that again. In fact, we're going to see the same Greek word, but later it's going to be translated as pleasing. Here we are, Christians, God's priesthood, in a church that is His temple, offering spiritual sacrifices. Here are the three things that make up the sacrificial system of worship. There's a temple, there are sacrifices, and there are priests. And we have that right here in this scripture. We have a new order of worship, one that was foreshadowing a greater time, a greater worship. And we're going to look at that now. We're going to look at the details of it. Again, here's the cultic system of worship. Temple, priest, and sacrifices. There is a sinful conflict when believers refuse to be a holy temple and priest serving God with sacrifices. And so there's the mentality of some. They start thinking about themselves and the way they live. They say, I believe, but I'm going to live the way that I want to live. That I'm not going to be holy. That I'm not going to be consecrated. That I'm not going to set myself apart. But to be a Christian, a priest, and God's temple now, His church, God requires that you be holy, that you be sanctified, that you change the way that you live, that you follow God focused on Him and you want to be pure. You want to make sure your heart is honest, that God's word changes you, that you're following after the example of the high priest. And the Scriptures tell this as well. Our high priest is who? Jesus Christ. Hebrews teaches us that. Jesus Christ is the high priest. We are the priests serving under Him, offering these sacrifices to Him. And for us to worship God, we must be holy. We need to think about that. Contemplate it this morning. Temple and priest is who we are as the church. Don't forget it. We're holy. And what we do as the church means something. It is pleasing to God when we give specific sacrifices to Him. And we might be thinking, well, what are those sacrifices? Again, it's not simply to give things up, but these spiritual sacrifices are something else. And our key passage this morning, we've already had it read for us twice. We're going to look at it again and look at it closer in detail. Here it is. What offerings can you give to God? What are those spiritual sacrifices that Peter is talking about? This is what Paul says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. He says, through Him, then let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. So the first thing we do is offering sacrifices to God as a part of His temple and His priest. We praise God. We acknowledge Him. We speak of Him to others. If we go back to 1 Peter where it talks about the temple, how we're a spiritual house and priest offering spiritual sacrifices, he even says our mission is to proclaim the excellencies of God. Of Christ, of our Creator, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Here we have it again. We offer up these sacrifices. Number one, praise to God. We also see this. He says, do not neglect to do good. To do good. How much good should we Christians be doing? How much every day? All right, so do not neglect to be good and to do what? And to share. The Greek word here is koinonia, meaning fellowship. We have a partaking of one another. We're giving to each other.
We're giving to those around us that we see in need. He says, don't neglect these things, to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. These are our spiritual sacrifices. This is what fills up our life. And we're going to talk more about that. And so we might be asking a question as we move into another scripture in a moment from Romans chapter 12. How do we accomplish the ultimate sacrifice for us? Now, I know Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, but for us to give ourselves completely to God, this is telling us how. We're praising God. We're doing good. We're sharing with others. We're giving those sacrifices to God. Sometimes people will give God all the great sacrifices, even their life. They'll say, I'm willing to die, but they're not willing to do the simpler things, the little things. God, I'm willing to die and confess right now. Somebody to come in here armed, I would stand before them and proclaim that you are Jesus and that you are God. But then the simpler things of just sharing and fellowship with one another and praising God, well, oftentimes we take those things and think nothing of them and set them aside. The Bible tells us those spiritual sacrifices need to be a part of our life, but what we're doing as priests in God's temple, it's a part of the big picture of giving our whole lives as a living sacrifice. Now, just take a look here. So we're in Hebrews 13, 15 through 16, talking about those spiritual sacrifices. Now, I believe that this section of Scripture is bookend. If you have your Bible, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 28, Paul says there, he says, we've received a kingdom that is eternal, that cannot be destroyed. And he says, now let's worship God. And the word he uses for worship is a very different word. It means priestly worship. It's what priests do when they offer sacrifices. It's used throughout the book of Hebrews. And that word right there in Hebrews 12, verse 28, kind of kicks off this talking about good deeds, the sacrifices that you give. And some of the things that stand out to me as sacrifices are right here. In Hebrews chapter 13, look in verses 1 through 6, you're going to see this. A part of those sacrifices is brotherly love and hospitality. And one of those things of sharing that we would often, or good deeds that we might set aside. God, I'm willing to give you my life. I'm willing to die for you. But to show love to everybody, to show hospitality, we overlook those. To visit and remember those who are in prison, we overlook those. And in the context here, those Christians who are being imprisoned. Honoring marriage with purity, one of those sacrifices. Then I commit to God that I'm going to stand against fornication and adultery. Hebrews chapter 13 says that. It's within the bookends, the worship you were to offer with reverence and awe and these sacrifices, honoring marriage with sexual purity. And then contentment. It says, be content. Don't be going about and focused on money and worshiping it. So those things are a part, again, of those sacrifices of good deeds. Here's that sacrifice that we need to give. We've been defining this right here. Look with me. Romans 12 and verse 1. Your greatest sacrifice is giving yourself as a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Not one that says, okay, I believe and I'm willing to die for Christ. I'm willing to live my whole life until that day comes. I'm willing to live right now and give myself completely to Him. That's the conviction we must have as Christians. I'm a priest. I'm a part of God's temple. I'm offering sacrifices, and the greatest one that I need to give to God that's going to cover all these others is to give myself as a living sacrifice. Paul says in Romans 12, verse 1, and he uses that word that's used over in Hebrews for worship here at the very last word, like priestly worship. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? Because we have a hope of one day of God restoring us to new life, restoring our bodies, glorifying us, giving us something even greater. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. But how do you do that? Well, your bodies need to be holy. This is a concept we get from 1 Corinthians 6, where he says, you know that one day you're going to be raised up. Then your temple, your body, must remain holy. You must remain sexually pure. Stay away from those types of sins, sins of the flesh, pride, and so many other things. And so we offer our bodies a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable to God. Again, that word for acceptable here, be better translated, pleasing to God, holy and pleasing to God, which is your what? Which is your rational worship. I know it says right there, spiritual. The word right here, it doesn't even mean spiritual. Don't know why translators put that word there. But it means your rational, your You've decided to do this. You're committed to it from your mind and your thoughts. You've set your mind on God to offer this priestly sacrifice, to sacrifice yourself. Everything else we could talk about this morning, are you able to say that you've given yourself as a living sacrifice to God? I've given myself completely to Him. I hope that you can. And what we've seen from Hebrews has defined what it means to give yourself as a living sacrifice. How many believers, again, want to give up their lives, but they're not willing to give up their life right now? If I had to die for a confession of my faith, I'd do that. But right now, they wouldn't do that. And I think there are some who would say, you know, that when they start thinking about themselves as a living sacrifice, they don't think of why they're here. I've heard some people say, why doesn't God just take me now? I'm tired of living. I'm tired. I've been suffering. Why doesn't God take me now? I can't tell you the number of times I've been to a hospital or to a rehab, and I've had a brother or sister say, why hasn't God taken me right now? Why does He keep me around? And the truth is, even toward the end of our life or when we're going through illnesses where it might be the end of our life, we show a great example in confession or faith by the way that we live, by the way that we endure with our faith. And oftentimes, the individuals who say that, who said that to me, I know that they have family members who need to come back to Christ, to come back to the church, and they need to see that example in their loved one. And so when you start thinking about yourself from the beginning to the end and you ever feel like you're useless, you are not. You're a priest in God's temple offering spiritual sacrifices. Giving yourself as a living sacrifice is a great example to those around you. Don't give it up. Don't undermine it. Don't speak against it. God is giving you that purpose. So what does that living sacrifice look like? We've gotten some of it from Hebrews, but here's another way of describing it to be holy and pleasing. The very next verse, Romans 12 and verse 2. If you're going to be a living sacrifice to God, this is how you do it. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Repent. Change. Every Christian should have it within their heart. I become a Christian. I'm following Christ. I want Him to transform me. I want Him to change me. That's my desire. I want to continue for God to continue to change me throughout my life. Help me, God, to reach others and to share the gospel with them. I want that conviction, and I'm willing to give my mind and my thought and my heart over to God for Him to transform me. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. He says that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. We know what the truth is. We can read our Bibles and we can see what needs to change in us, what it means to be a living sacrifice. I encourage you this morning, if you got sin you're struggling with, get someone to pray with you, never give up, and continue to change your mind and focus it on the Spirit, on Christ. Romans chapter 8, 5, and 6 talks about that being the way the Spirit works in our life, that we focus and set our minds on the Spirit rather than on the flesh. This is an example of it. How can we change? How do we need to be transformed? Living holy lives is the Christian's sacrificial worship to God. The Bible is abundantly clear. Give your life as a holy sacrifice to God, a living sacrifice. All your actions, your good deeds, all of them as a sacrifice to God. Don't lay apart those simple things or those good deeds, the sharing. And don't lay aside praising God, the fruit of your lips. We get together as Christians. Let us sing. Let's praise God. Let's speak of Him during the week. That's what it means to live as a holy sacrifice. That's the worship that God has given to us. Make these sacrifices and you will please God. We've seen that throughout, haven't we, today? You want to please God? This is it. I can please Him by offering these sacrifices. Being a priest who's holy in His temple. We'll never give up serving Him. We look to the Old Testament, we see this. Today, some people wonder, you know, when Jews are outside of Judea, especially during the first century, how did they offer sacrifices? Well, they didn't. They had this perspective that's mentioned in the Scriptures, that when they're outside of Judea and they're not near Jerusalem where they could participate in those sacrifices under the Old Testament, they had Scriptures that told them that God wanted righteousness and good deeds more than He wanted the sacrifices. And then we have that fulfilled now in the New Testament. God desires righteousness more than physical sacrifices. Solomon writes in Proverbs 21 and verse 3, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Hosea 6:6 prophesied of this. Hosea says, "For I desire steadfast love." This is God speaking through Hosea. "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." God wants us to know Him, to steadfastly love Him. And now we live under a system where those are our spiritual sacrifices. I think that's amazing. Christians make sacrifices. That's the Christian life. We have a new sacrificial system. God has given Christians the means to offer sacrifice like none other. There's no other religion or faith or anybody who could claim what we're talking about this morning, what we're a part of. In fact, it says in Hebrews 13 we've been reading from, the writer says, "We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat." What's Paul saying? He's saying those who are still serving in Jerusalem under their system of worship, they have no altar like ours. We're under a greater time, a greater worship. Paul reasoned that because the high priest offered animals outside the city and for which their blood entered the holy places, that we should follow the same example. And what does that mean? Well, he says Jesus did that. Jesus was offered outside of Jerusalem. He was crucified there so his blood may cleanse those who live within it. And he says right here, this is for everybody, that we follow the example of Christ, that we are willing to also accept that sacrifice, that blood that has come to the Holy of Holies that washes away our sins. There's so much there that's very deep for us to take in. Here's the thing. As Christians, we must have this conviction. We will remain holy priests, serving God's temple and offering spiritual sacrifices to Him. That's what will please Him. I hope you have this conviction this morning. You see how important that you are and the work that you're doing is. Don't give up. Don't set it aside. Don't think that you're insignificant. You're part of something great. God has set you to be pleasing to Him. Encourage this morning, if you have not obeyed the gospel, do so. When the priests came into the temple, the first thing they had before they could enter in the temple was to wash. A basin of water there after the sacrifice for washing. And we have this picture here in Hebrews 10, 21 to 23 about that, applying it to us as Christians. "And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." Sound familiar? "With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience." That means the blood being sprinkled. You can read the context and see that. "And our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." This morning, follow that example. If you're not a Christian, be baptized. If you believe and you've repented and you confess your faith that Jesus is Lord and He rose from the dead, you can be baptized and rise up in the newness of life. You need prayers and encouragement to come back to live this life, to understand what you're about is so important. Find someone to pray with you. You could come forward right now and we'll pray with you. Please come right now while we stand and while we sing.